Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and glory are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, all you families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among nations, the Lord reigns. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea resound and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Let all the trees of the forest sing for joy. Let all creation rejoice before the Lord, for he comes. He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his faithfulness. Amen.
If we were to give a title to this little group of psalms that we're looking at the moment, it would be this: The Lord Reigns. This group of psalms is sometimes called enthronement psalms because they speak about God's eternal kingship. All these psalms praise the kingship of God. All of them have the theme of the divine king who will come to judge the earth. But this psalm begins, "Sing to the Lord a new song." So while it's similar to other psalms in that it proclaims God as the king, the righteous judge, there is also something here that is a little bit different, something that could be described as new. The psalm breaks down into two main sections, and each of these sections consists of two parts. So verses 1 to 6 give a call to worship. In verses 1 to 3, praise the Lord, proclaim his salvation, and declare his glory. A call to worship followed by reasons as to why God alone is to be praised, because he's great and worthy of praise. And then the second section follows the same pattern with a second call to worship. Give to the Lord the glory and worship due to his name, followed by a further set of reasons for praising God, because he is the creator God and the God who will judge the earth. So two calls to worship and two sets of reasons why we should praise God. And that all sounds fairly familiar. So what's new about this song for the people of Israel? Well, it wasn't new because it was a song they'd never sung before, a song with fresh lyrics or music, like we sometimes learn a new song for our worship here, a song that is new to us. There's something actually a bit different here. The Psalms were the songs of God's people. Many of the Psalms were used in their corporate worship, sung by them as they went on pilgrimage to Jerusalem to worship at the temple. Some of you use Lectio 365 in your daily prayer time, and in that there is always an extract from a psalm. And it's introduced with words that say that as we read the psalm, we are joining with the ancient praise of all God's people. So it was a song of the people of God. But this psalm also calls on the whole earth to praise God. It instructs the worshippers to declare his glory among all the nations and his marvelous deeds among all peoples. This is a song that recognizes that God is Lord of all the earth, that he is God of all peoples, that he is the one true God of heaven and earth. Declare his glory among the nations and his marvelous deeds among all peoples. And I guess that could have been hard for the Israelites. They had been constantly at the mercy of the enemy nations all around them. Their history started with slavery in Egypt. After being delivered from bondage and entering the land God promised them, they struggled with the Philistines, the Ammonites, the Edomites, and the Moabites. And eventually they were destroyed and exiled by the Assyrians and Babylonians. The Babylonians invaded Jerusalem, destroyed the temple, and killed thousands of God's people, leaving their bodies lying in the streets. These nations worshipped idols, practiced terrible religious rites like child sacrifice. These nations plotted against Israel and against Israel's God. They were the source of opposition, oppression, injustice, and false religion. But this new song calls on God's people to proclaim his glory and his marvelous deeds to all these nations and to all these people, to all the people who had been and who were their enemies. And that was totally consistent with what God had said to them from the start of their history. As we saw in the little video clip that we watched, way, way back in the story of salvation, right back in Genesis chapter 12, we read of Abraham being called by God to leave his home and go to a land that God would show him, a land that we know became the land of the people of Israel. And what God said to Abraham was this: I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. And he did make the descendants of Abraham into a great nation, the people of Israel. But all people on earth to be blessed through him? Well, yes, God had blessed the people of Israel in a special way. But his purpose was not that they could feel proud and superior to others. Rather, it was that they should be a blessing to the whole world. They were blessed so that they could be a blessing. They were called to use their influence for the good of all nations. So, declare his glory among the nations and his marvelous deeds among all peoples. Why? Because God is great and he is worthy of praise. And I imagine other nations saying, but why should we worship the God of Israel? We have our own gods that we worship. We're fine. And the psalmist answers, the Lord made the heavens, but your so-called gods are just idols, things that you've made yourself that have no reality. God, the God of Israel, is the one to be feared. Compare your experience of gods that can't answer you with the character and works of the one true God, splendor majesty, strength, and glory are his. He is truly worthy of worship. One of the commentators says that this psalm is pitting the God of the little Hebrew nation against the pantheons of Canaan, Egypt, and Mesopotamia, and envisaging the world's past, present, and future in his mighty hands. The second call to worship in verses 7 to 9 echoes the first, and again it involves all the nations of the world. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory that is due to his name. In the first part of the psalm, we read, sing, sing, sing. And now we read, ascribe, or give, 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 give. We are called to give to God the glory that is his due. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. And as we give to God the glory due to his name, so we are called to bring an offering as we come into his courts. Since the psalmist's day, bringing an offering has remained an integral part of Christian worship. Many of us now give through direct debit, and while that's really convenient for us and convenient for John, I think for myself that there is something a little impersonal about it. It was good, I think, to bring an offering week by week, and I know that's what some of you still do. I think it made us think about it a little more. It's only too easy to forget that what goes out of our bank account to the church is not like any other direct debit. It's our offering of worship to the Lord. And it's all too easy to forget that we should review it from time to time. When we come before God, we bring an offering of worship. And however we do it in this modern day, we bring an offering of our money for the work of the Lord. And that, says the psalmist, is a part of what it means to give to the Lord the glory due to his name. And then again in verses 10 to 13, we see the reason for our praise. Why are we to ascribe to the Lord the glory due to his name? Because the Lord reigns, and Israel is commanded to tell that to the nations. Because God is both the Creator God, the one who established the world so firmly that it cannot be moved, and the God who will come to judge that world. He will judge with equity, with fairness. He will judge with righteousness and with truth. He will put all things right and will restore order and harmony. And so the seas and floods, the fields and animals are celebrating, because the Lord is coming to judge. He is the one who will come to put all things right at last. And as we look around us and see the chaos in our world, as we see evil and injustice and violence and oppression, we too can rejoice that God reigns and that God, the righteous judge, will come. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due to his name. Let's sing together. So what can we learn from this psalm? Well, the first thing I think is this, that there is a call to mission. The people of Israel were chosen to be a blessing to all people. And now God has chosen us, the church, to be a blessing to all people. Here was the people of Israel being called to proclaim to the pagan nations around them that God, their God, was Lord of heaven and earth, the one true God. And we, the Church of Jesus Christ, are also called to take the good news of salvation to the people around us. Our commission was given to us by Jesus when the last thing Matthew's Gospel records him saying is, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." But I think we are maybe a bit like I suspect the Israelites may have been. We know what Jesus has called us to do. It really shouldn't be something new any more than it should have been something new for them. But as it was for them, it's a bit of a hostile world out there. People may or may not be enemies of the gospel, but there's certainly a growing hostility. And the people that we interact with are probably pretty indifferent at best, maybe openly scornful and dismissive. It's not an easy atmosphere for spreading the gospel. People have their own gods, their own idols. Why would they be interested in the God we worship? Well, mostly, they really aren't. But we are called to be a blessing to others. And so we need to be alert to the opportunities to show people what we believe, even if they aren't very interested in listening to us. And we try to do that as individuals. And as a church, we are trying to live out that command by our youth work, our provision of food through the larder, our welcome to people from the community in the welcome group and BSL, making our premises available to community groups, and trying to be a welcoming people for anyone who walks through our door. What more can we do? I don't know. But we must be open to whatever God would say to us and responsive to what his call on us would be. We're not sure what the future will look like as we think about the possibility of a union with Strathmartin to create a new church. But whatever is ahead of us, I believe that we need to hold firm to these two imperatives, that we worship God and that we seek to share the gospel and to be a blessing to others. Because the second thing that we see in this psalm is this, the uniqueness of the gospel message that we proclaim. This psalm, like the others that we're looking at, is very clear that there is only one God, the Lord of heaven and earth, the Creator God, the God who will come to judge. One God, revealed in our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. In the world of the Israelites, there were many other gods, as there are today. But we proclaim that God has come in Jesus, and that he alone is the way back to God, The way to find forgiveness and grace, mercy and love. That it is because of him and him alone that we can have a relationship with this amazing, powerful God. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and glory are in his sanctuary, says the psalmist. Yes, but we can call him Father because of what Jesus has done for us. Does that sound exclusive in a world of many competing religions and philosophies? Sure it does. But that is because the truth is always exclusive. The truth does not give space for any lies, no matter how attractive they may seem to be. The gospel message is that Jesus alone saves, and that is what we are called to proclaim. But I want to end with this thought. Sing to the Lord a new song. And here's a question. What song are you singing today? Are you singing a song of anxiety, of fear, of weariness or discouragement? Are you singing a song of doubt, feeling unable to trust in God because of concerns for the present or the future? This psalm proclaims the greatness and the majesty of God. The Message translates part of the psalm like this: shout the news of his victory from sea to sea. Take the news of his glory to the lost. News of his wonders to one and all. Get out the message. God rules. And it proclaims the great hope that he is coming again, when the trees of the forest will sing for joy. Great is the Lord, and most worthy of praise. Surely we can put all our trust and hope in him and sing that song today. We sing again, we have heard